Good morning. Trust everyone had a good Thanksgiving. And it's hard to believe the first Sunday after Thanksgiving is what we refer to as the beginning of Advent, which means the coming or the arrival of Jesus for Christmas. And I think it's very important that we take note of this time of the year and the season, because the rest of the world does. I mean, even commercialism does in the stores even before Thanksgiving and as early as Halloween, you know, begin to see things out for Christmas. And so in a commercial way or materialistic way, the stores begin to get ready. But, you know, Advent is actually for the Christian. It's for the believers to begin to prepare our hearts in a spiritual way, okay? And so each of the Sundays before Christmas, you have the Advent candles. And so as you see up here, you know, you just have to visualize it. We'll have them out next Sunday. We had some things happen yesterday. Anyway, that was a long story. But we are going to watch a video. And the first one up, these are all love gifts from Jesus, okay, talking about gift giving at Christmas. And the first one is peace. So in the Advent candles, you have the four candles of peace and love and joy and hope, and then the center candle of Christ that you light the Sunday before Christmas or on Christmas Day itself. And each of these are love gifts that he has given to us, okay? Very precious gifts. The first one is that of peace. So we're going to see a little video on peace. And it's kind of ironic because the message this morning is on conflict. but we're going to see how you can have peace instead of conflict. And so we do want in our minds this morning light the candle of peace. Watch this video. So, very peaceful video, and I had to wake up. We are talking about James, and in James 4, we're in the new chapter this morning, 1 through 10. Isn't it something? Boy, after 2,000 years ago, nothing has really changed. The same things, the same problems, the same sinfulness, the same relational problems of conflict, of arguments. James really hits it. Where we confront these things on a daily basis in relationships. And he's talking about, why do people argue, okay? Why do you argue with other people? And many times it's with the people that you love the most, and you ask yourself, what brought that up, or what allowed that to escalate the way that it did over something many times seemingly just something silly? So James now begins to touch on the topic of conflict within our lives. And basically, it boils down to conflicting desires, okay? He says conflicting desires. And these desires are not necessarily bad. Sometimes they're even biblical. Sometimes they're good. But it's all about the proportion and how they affect others and whether, you know, here's the thing. And God said the things in this world were given to us to enjoy, okay? And which is good in a moral way, of course, and within the bounds of biblical bounds that he says that they're to be done in. And it does. It brings great joy. And that's one of the other candles in the Advent season. But if it's out of proportion, if it's done wrongly or the wrong time too much, you know, it becomes sin. It has control of you instead of you having control of it. And so he's saying that these desires that people have, we use things and we love people, okay? James says, but when we get that reverse, when we love things and use people to get those things, that creates a lot of arguments, creates a lot of conflict in life between relationships. And so he's going to show us this morning of what causes. Here in that first verse, he asks the question, what causes those fights and those quarrels among you? You know, and don't we ask that ourselves? And what brought that up? What caused that, you know, that fight or that argument or that conflict? And so we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at why there's causes for conflict and arguments. And then what is the cure? What could be the remedy that those things don't have to happen in our lives so much? So he asked the question, what causes those fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Okay? Think about that for a minute. We think the conflict is external. It's because that person doesn't go along with what I'm saying, doesn't believe like me, doesn't want what I want. You know, there's a conflict there involved. And we think it's all external. Okay? James says, no, it's not external. It begins internally within ourselves. People, there's a civil war going on among ourselves. Okay, there's fightings, and so that's where we have to find peace within ourselves before we can find peace with other people. And so he says that, well, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Number one, you want something, but you don't get it. You know, that's materialism, that's possessions. And you kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. Isn't that basically what wars are started over and so much unjust killing and wrong killing? It happens over conflict. It happens over desires, people wanting something and someone else saying, no, you can't have that. And it ends up in that conflict. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have, number one, because you don't ask God. And, you know, that's really a sign of pride when we don't ask God. We think it's something we can do on our own strength, our own courage, our own mind. We'll work for it. We'll get it done. We'll make this person do what we want to get done. We really don't even want to involve God in that. And that's called pride. And pride always comes before the fall. God's word says time and time again, you know, God is against the prideful person, but he shows such mercy towards the humble. And so pridefulness is why many times people do not pray. And then he says, but then if you do pray, when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives. That's a selfish, greedy motive behind the prayer, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So we'll talk about that as a cause of conflict. You adulterous people. So many times in God's word, he uses adulterous, meaning running from God and hooking up with the ways of the world, the things of the world, the sinful things of the world, and turning our back on God. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Now, he's talking about the world concept, the deceitfulness of the world. The world itself is good. God created it, looked at it, said everything's good. The people, you know, there was the fall, the concept, the evilness of Satan who walks to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. That he's the father of lies. The world concept has fallen under those lies of Satan. Many people have those blinders on, can't really see the truth. They're just caught up in the evilness and the sinfulness of the world. Okay, don't know Jesus, don't know his salvation, don't know of his forgiveness, of his goodness, of the biblical precepts, and live by God's word, the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, and the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament. And so that's what it's talking about when it uses the world. It's the world concept. There, a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God? Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud. So pridefulness not only causes contention and arguments, and it causes that civil war within yourself, it's also against God, okay? And we're going to talk about how that if things aren't right with God, things will never be right with other people. But when you find peace with God, then you can have peace with others. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves into God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. See, we do have a choice, don't we? We can't say, well, the devil made me do it, and I had no choice in the matter. Yes, you do. It says right here, you have the very power through the Holy Spirit to resist Satan, and he will flee from you. He'll say, I'm wasting my time here, you know, and he'll go somewhere else. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, talking about confession of sin, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn and wail, talking about over our own sinfulness and evilness. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So, once again, James touches on a very prevalent concern that we have in life. And that's avoiding conflicts or avoiding those arguments that we have in those relationships with one another, within family, parents and children, husband and wives, wives and husbands, socially or at work or with work associates. You know, there's those times when they just end up in conflict. And he says, for a Christian, it doesn't have to be. We do have a choice. We do have the power through God's presence. God is trying to raise us up in Christ's likeness that does not create conflict but creates peace, and that peace begins from the very birth of Jesus and 2,000 years ago, and that peace that we can have within our hearts, because that external conflict is a problem with the internal peace that we don't have many times within our own hearts. So we're going to look at that this morning. First of all, you know, what causes, what are the reasons? And it's the conflicting desires that we have, and three basic desires we're going to talk about this morning. And like I said, it's not necessarily that we're saying that these desires are even wrong, but it's in the wrong proportion. It's in the wrong if we use them or love them more than people and use people to love the things of the world and possessions and in the conflict when it hurts other people, okay? So the first one is when it's out of control, when that enslaves you instead of the other way around, the desire to have, and that's possessions, that's things, that's materialism. What causes conflict in relationship? What causes arguments among people? Well, number one is always about things or materialism or possessions. Verse 2, you want but you do not have, you long for what others have. So it's that age-old problem, you know, of keeping up with the Joneses. And if your last name is Jones, just it's not personal, okay? that's just what they say. People try to keep up with the Joneses, okay? The problem with that, you know, you try to have just as good a house, just as good a car, just as good as a... But the only problem is about the time you catch up with the Joneses, they refinance and they're able to get more, okay? So it's just an endless thing, and it doesn't create peace. The Gallup poll said 56% of all marriages that end in divorce end because of money problems, okay? So that's more than half the marriages. They're saying the number one problem is money problems. These are conflicts. These are arguments within that relationship over money, over possessions, over material things. So we have to deal with this desire to have, okay? And it's going to cause problems. There was a magazine for young yuppies that were talking about coping with stress and for success, and talking about how so many people in today's society, they have the nice cars, the BMWs, and all the digital gadgets. But it says the owners, these people, they still feel an emptiness. They still feel a sadness within inside of them. And that desire to have doesn't really satisfy that empty feeling that they have. So James is saying here, one of the problems of conflict, of arguments, is that desire to have things, to have possessions, okay? And it may be a good thing, maybe a bad thing, but whatever, it causes conflict within relationships, and we have to learn to deal with that and learn to love people and use things and not the other way around, okay? Number two, he says another desire that people have is the desire to feel pleasure, okay? Verse 3 here, that pride, this is power. This is, I will do this if it makes me feel good, okay? What is it going to give me? Criteria of why they do certain things, okay? This is, does it make me comfortable? Does it satisfy me? Verse 3, you want only what will give you pleasure. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God made everything for your enjoyment, okay? That's, and he knows what is needful, and he knows what we need. This is an overabundance. This is out of proportion. This is an attitude that I exist for you to make me feel good, to give me everything I want, everything I need, to make me happy, make me comfortable, okay? There is going to be conflict, You want to get comfortable, get off that chair and quit watching TV and go do something, But anyway, it creates conflict, that kind of attitude where we think people owe us something, and we don't have to give. We don't have to think about the other person. We just think about ourselves. That's always going to lead to conflict, that desire for pleasure, that desire just to feel, and that we exist for that. And that, so you get two different people with that same feeling. I mean, what's going to happen? You know, you're here to help me feel good. No, you're here to help me feel good. You know, you're in a relationship, you're there to help each other, not for the other to help. And so anyway, that creates a lot of conflict. And then 3, the desire to be, or that pride, that power, that to be number one. So we don't pray because of pride. And then if you do pray, many times it's with the wrong motives, because of pride, because of power, because wanting to be number one. We watch out for ourselves. And it started long before Frank Sinatra, when he's saying, I did it my way. That's, if you can do it your way and get away with it, well, more power to you. But I'm sure it'll cause a lot of conflicts and a lot of arguments and a lot of hurt people. You just can't do that in life. James says that that's one of the problems. Is pride. That's that desire to be, to have what you want, to have the entertainment that you want, the joy that you want, at the expense of other people. And that will definitely cause conflict, okay? In that pleasure, that desire to be, that power, that pride. Proverbs 13:10, pride leads to arguments, and only by pride comes contention, okay? It's always pride is at the root of that, of contention, of arguments, a conflict within life. It's that sense of pride that you're not going to give in. Even if you're in the wrong, have you ever been in an argument where you knew what the person was saying was right, but you weren't going to confess it because you were going to win that argument, So, and that's because of pride. No, I didn't do that. How dare you say, And that's all pride. Or if you grew up in a home, I know it was siblings, and I had a brother, and we always, kids that like to wrestle, and the old gang, you get them in a hold and say, you tell them, say uncle. Well, I wasn't about to say uncle. Why? That's pride, And turning blue and about to die, but you're not going to say uncle, And that's something within everyone, and that's not a good thing, because anytime there's pride, there's going to be contention. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be people not giving in. You're only thinking about yourself, that pride and that power. Verses 2 and 3, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. So, the conflict in our life is in direct proportion to the time that we spend with God. Okay? I'll say that again. Conflict in our life is in direct proportion to the time that we spend with God. Okay? And he's saying here, actually, pride is the number one reason we don't even spend time with God. We think we can handle it. We can do it. We don't need God. We're number one. We don't need to ask God. We don't need to spend time in the Bible. So he says, that's okay. That's number one. That's your problem there. You have so much conflicts in life, so many arguments, because you're ignoring God and his presence and what he has for your life and that peace that he can give you if we just pray and spend time with him. Number two, the problem is when you do finally get around and you think, okay, I'm going to pray, but you look at God as this genie that you're just going to rub the lamp and ask for whatever you want, and we ask amiss, which just means we're just asking from selfish reasons or greed. Selfish motives, and it's not really something we need. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, he does say that he wants to provide our needs and being in the will of God, and those prerequisites in prayer of righteousness and confession, you know, and of using whatever God gives us for his glory, you know, and to make us more Christ-like. And if it's out of that arena, you know, he's saying, why should I grant that prayer? You know, it's just something that's very selfish and prideful. But those are reasons why people don't pray, is because of pridefulness. It's like the song, the hymn, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." You know, that's the bottom line. Why do we carry such burden? Why do we have such conflict? Why do we have to argue all the time? And many times it is because we don't spend time with God. We don't spend time with God in confession of our sins, of our own evilness, of that war, that civil war that's going on within our own hearts, and it shows externally. Okay, so that pride causes conflict, no compromise. You know, I'm right, you're wrong, you know, end of story. The desire to impress other people, watch me. You know, the thing is that God declares war on selfishness, on pridefulness, and we'll look at that too more in a minute. But then what is the cure then for that? James says, okay, there's definitely a problem. It causes conflict, it causes wars, not only externally but internally within us, towards other people and towards God. So he says, number one, humility is that cure. Humility is always the cure for conflict, for arguments in life. We need that grace. We need that grace of God. We can't. We've tried way too many times, falling flat on our face. Things just seem to escalate when we try to do, and it's because of our own pridefulness. But we need humility to change. And then he gives us four actions here to stop that conflict, because it actually says in verse 6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we find ourselves, if God is going to oppose the proud, okay, here's the scary part. You think you're just in conflict with other people, or you're just having an argument with other people. Hello, you're having an argument and conflict with God. God says he opposes the proud. So if our backs are bowed, if we're unmovable, if we're so prideful, we're not just having conflict externally with someone else. We're having it internally, spiritually, with the God who created this universe. And God says that he declares war on selfishness, okay? That's why there's such a war inside internally. That's why there's such confusion and conflict outside. So the cure is humility. Verses 6 and 10 here. God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So humility is the answer. You know, it doesn't even matter. Even if the other person is 95% wrong in that conflict, in that argument, and say you have 5% ownership in that, none of that even really matters, because God says you still humble yourself for that 5% and pray for that other person and make restitution to that other person, you know, but that's all we're accountable for. And to find that peace within our own heart is what we're looking for, and that's how you do it, and you find that peace externally too with others. So that's broken down to stop the fighting. How do we do that? Well, number one, James says in verse 7, to give in to God. He says, submit yourselves then to God. Verse 7. So there's a civil war going on there within our lives, or there wouldn't be external conflict with other people. Okay, we just have to understand that concept here of arguments. And so he says, the way you're going to get around that, number one, submit yourselves to the Lord. Spend time with God. You know, it's just interesting. I know within my own life, it seemed like the more time I spend with God in prayer or Bible study, you know, the less I'm mad at people, or the less I get aggravated or upset or see conflict. And so it really is, conflict in our own life is in direct proportion to the time we spend with God. You know, the more time you spend with God, that takes care of that internal conflict, and you find that peace with God. And then you really do begin to find that peace with other people. So many things don't seem as, quote, important I mean, they don't, you learn to go with the flow a little bit better. You know, you still have concern, you still have love, you still, you know, are following biblically and morally in the way that we should live. But, you know, it's like you're in that right relationship with God, so that you're in right relationship with other people. And that's where he says it starts. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule within your heart. So that's when you quit trying to manipulate people or control people or demanding your own way, or that pridefulness comes out and says, no, it has to be that way, or trying to control people or move people around. You know, that's just not a God thing. That's not a Christ likeness in our lives. So that's what he's saying. Give time. Give him control. Quit trying to run your own life, and take care of that conflict that is going on inside of yourself so that you can take care of that peace externally too. And to be aware of that, to give time with God. And then number two, he says, you have to understand there is an entity, there is a spiritual warfare going on. There is the Antichrist, Satan himself. There is that minion of demons in this world, and we have to get wise to Satan. And that's what he says. He says, be aware. You have to be aware of your opposition. You have to be aware of the world in which you live in. I guarantee you there's nothing more that Satan would love the most is to divide families, to divide churches, to get different, you know, sanctions, different groups going. We want it this way. No, we want it this way. No, and that pride begins. No, it has to be done this way or this, you know, and Satan loves that. I mean, he's just out there laughing, having a good old time when he can create that dissension, when he creates that conflict, that arguments among people. And that's what he's saying here, but we have a choice. We don't have to just let that happen. He says here, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the word resist is a war term, you know, that we are in spiritual battle, that we can take defensive action, that we do have that power to resist Satan. You know, and when you get up in the morning, if you don't run head on with Satan, that means y'all are running in the same direction. You know? And so a Christian, that's going to happen a lot. We have to identify it. We have to understand it. And dealing with people, you say, well, where did that come from? Well, it came from the devil many times. Sometimes it's not the person. Jesus understood that in Peter. That wasn't him speaking. That was the devil. You know, behind, he said, get behind me, Satan. You know, there's that spiritual warfare that is just going on to cause that conflict and arguments among people. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, in order that Satan will not outwit us, we are not unaware of his schemes. You know, so Paul said to wise up. He said, be active, recognize his tactics. James is saying the same thing here. And, of course, Satan is going to play on our pride. He's going to whisper little things in our ear, like, are you going to let that person talk to you that way? You know, or you're better than he is, you know, or how dare them even question you. You know, he loves to well up people's pride. Isn't that that's what he did in the Garden of Eden, okay, to Adam and Eve? It was all about pride. Hey, you know, what do you mean God said this? You know, you could be like God if you just partake there. So he does that to us today, and he hadn't changed his tactics there. But he says here, James tells us, you don't have to put up with that mess. He said resist him. Spend time with God in prayer. You know, allow God to have your life and resist Satan. Tell him who it is. Resist in the name of Jesus, you know, to depart. And then see, grow closer to God. More time with God, better time with people. So Isaiah 26:3 says, he will keep him in perfect peace. All those who trust in him, those thoughts turn often to the Lord. So you're going to find that the more time you do spend with the Lord, the better you're going to get along with other people, is what he's saying here. And people that say, and I've said it to myself at times, well, I'm just too busy, or I was just too busy to spend time with the Lord, or read the Bible, or go to God in prayer. You know, that is true. We are too busy. But that's not an acceptable reason not to spend time with God. It just means we need to reprioritize our own life, because nothing is more important than spending time with God. And we need that. And you will. You'll find the more time you spend with God in prayer and reading his word, the less time people are going to aggravate you, that you want to be in conflict. I mean, you're just more forgiving. You're not as prideful, okay? We feel more humble before the Lord in those areas. And then 4, ask for forgiveness. Verses 8 and 9, he says to wash your hands, purify your hearts, let there be tears for the wrong that you have done. You know, we just recognize that we're not perfect, okay? Yes, conflict happens, and we can't just keep that conflict fire burning and escalating by always, you know, well, it's the other guy's fault, you know. Why do conflicts happen? Somebody said, well, it was because the other guy's fault, you know. That just keeps the fires burning in there. Somehow, some way, we have to have that confession, that forgiveness, you know, that acceptance that we're at fault too, no matter what. No matter what the situation was, we can accept some accountability. We just have to humble ourselves and apologize for our part in that whole thing. And then, you know, leave the other up to God, the other person. But you know what? Many times you really, people respect that. People really respond in a positive way to people saying, I'm sorry, or forgive me. And that humbleness that happens there, you can really get a lot further in life that way than saying things that makes people well up with their own pride and say, well, he's not going to get away with that. Philippians 2, 3 and 5 says, do nothing out of selfish ambitions or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interest of others. So, especially in the context among believers, you know, if Christ is in you and Christ is in the other person, you know, how wrong would that be? Christ is not going to argue with himself, is he? Christ is not going to be in conflict with himself. So that's the bottom line, too, for Christians. If Christ is in you, if Christ is in the other person, then Christ is not a part of that conflict, you know. And both parties have to get in tune, that inner peace that we were talking about and that relationship with the Lord for those desires. So we had those desires to have. To have certain things. But, you know, even among kids and in counseling, I've learned kids really, they don't want as much things as they just want the parents' time. You know, they're the things that are that you can never give back in life. Time is fleeting. It passed by. Kids grow up so fast, okay? The time that you spend with people and in relationships, that's can't be replaced. That's important. It's not so much, and that's what they, not the gift that was given or the material thing or the possession, you know, is what's remembered, but that time and those relationships is what's remembered. And that pride, you know, do you have difficulty in just admitting when you're wrong, okay? Do you have difficulty in backing down from an argument? And that's all based upon pride. So, our unsatisfaction, you know, do you feel those feelings of being unsatisfied internally? And that's when we need the Lord. That's when we need to spend time with God and see what is really of true value and what really does bring peace within our lives. And that's Christ. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as your forgiver of sins? You know, so that right relationship with God tremendously helps our relationship with others in that Christ-likeness. So avoiding conflict in life, you know, it comes from spending time with the Lord. It comes from dropping that pride and understand what true humility is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, we thank you so much for your word, for this book of James. And James, who had such insight into practicality, the do's and don'ts of Christianity. Lord, these are areas that we struggle with each day, and we need to be reminded of each day. And Lord, that Christ-likeness, that we would be reminded to spend more time with you so we can grow and be more like you, Jesus, than get caught up in the world with all the arguments, with all the warring, with all the conflict, with all the strife. Lord, that we could have an understanding of what true peace is all about internally so that we can relate that peace externally to others too. And we pray this, Lord, in your name. We pray if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they would just simply at this time invite you into their heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I want that relationship with the Creator of this universe that I know loves me and has a plan for my life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.